go. The Cure just kind of lulls you into a sense of familiarity, and so does this show. I mean, that's really what we have in common with The Cure is we do that too. We lull you into a, well, false sense of familiarity. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is Friday. Christmas is almost upon us. So, you know, whether or not you celebrate, however you celebrate, all that other stuff, yeah, that's next week. So there you go. So just, there's no way to hit the pause button, people. It's happening whether or not you like it or not. So we have a wonderful guest today. Can't wait to actually talk to Abby and kind of find out what's what in her world. And if you are following us on the Twitters and you want to ask Abby a question, hit up the hashtag DTHR, DriveThruHR, and we'll try to respond, etc. So without any further ado, Abby, how are you?
Hello, I'm good. How are you doing?
Good, good, good. Ready for the weekend.
Yeah.
Right. So so let's do a couple things. Introduce yourself to the audience. Do us a favor and kind of bring us into who you are and your pertinence.
Well, I am the marketing director at Wanted Analytics. My background is in marketing and HR. When I first graduated college, I didn't use anything I learned in college, and I actually wound up in operations. Was there for a while and decided that that was not for me. So I got back into marketing, and about 3 years ago I joined Wanted, and now I get to do marketing for an HR technology company, and I get to combine everything I love.
Well, two things real quick. So in case the audience doesn't know what Wanted Analytics does, what would you say you do? No, I'm just kidding. What does Wanted Analytics do for a living?
Wanted Analytics provides data to HR departments primarily. It's mostly sourcing and recruiting and workforce management, workforce planning topics so that they can be more strategic. Basically what we do is we spider the internet for job ads. We scrape a copy of them and then categorize them so that they're easily searchable for whoever's using our software. So you can use the SOC, your industry code, job title, location, salaries, required skills, and we can actually show you who else is hiring for those jobs, where the talent is, and show you how hard it's going to be to fill those jobs and what you can do to make it easier.
Oh, that's great. So it's the supply and demand part of the labor market, and you're giving people insight into those things, which affects compensation. It also affects where you market, how you market, and it affects a lot of things, actually, not just those things. The upside and downside to selling HR. So you've been doing this a while, so you're going to get the market, you kind of get the shtick of the generic HR professional. What do you like? What do you like? What's the upside? What do you love about that, and what do you wish was a little different?
I see HR really changing a lot. It's really becoming more strategic, and it's exciting for us because we have a lot of data behind it that HR can use. So if it's not just about recruiting, but it's business intelligence and competitive intelligence. And if you're looking at what your competitors are doing, we can show you that in the job ads. You can see when they're starting to hire for various projects and various teams. If you want to find out where you should open a new office, we can show you the best places to open those offices, and you need to staff up 200 people, we could show you the fastest place that you're going to be able to do that, what you're going to pay those people and compare it to other places. And it's information that HR can now bring. It's real data, and that's exciting.
And things that you'd love to change, if you could wave a wand and change recruiting and HR forever, what would you do?
I think I would have everybody using analytics. It really does make your life so much easier when you can walk into a meeting and back up your strategy. And it's hard. Analytics and people analytics is a hard space right now because companies are realizing how important it is and just staffing up and getting that going in a company.
Okay, I like that. top of mind for you these days? What's keeping Abby up at night?
So we do. Obviously, we see a lot of the trends in hiring and where the jobs are. And we're pretty, we see them before they happen. And when we were looking at the numbers for 2014 and what happened this past year, we saw that hiring is not growing as fast in the big cities as you would think. It's growing a lot faster in smaller cities. Charlotte, North Carolina, actually had the most growth in hiring this year. And no one would think that. You would automatically think New York or L.A. or, you know, the Silicon Valley, Chicago. But it's Charlotte, and they grew 50% this year. So they're becoming more of a talent hub. Other cities were like Cincinnati, Cleveland, Detroit, Pittsburgh, places that you probably wouldn't expect to see it, but they are growing.
Okay. What do you think is keeping your clients up at night? What if you, if we were to kind of dig into their worlds a little bit and where that's a little bit different than your world, what's keeping them up at night?
Probably on the recruiting side, it's working with hiring managers, and that's what we hear a lot. Having to set those expectations up front when you're given a job and you know it's going to be hard to fill, and presenting that to a hiring manager so that they are on the same page as you. They know up front it's going to take X number of days to start getting candidates in the pipeline. You're going to have to spend a lot of money on placing job ads and spend time on sourcing and maybe hire staffing firms. And that's a whole process that is really important so that they're not bothering you during the entire process.
Okay. And so you're separating the HR and recruiting and sourcing professionals, obviously. What do you think the next 5 years looks like for them? You know, as they're confronting, because y'all are knee deep in analytics. You know, everyone there very savvy. You kind of see, as you already said, you see the future before the future actually happens. Take us into what you believe is the next kind of 5 to 7 years for folks in sourcing, recruiting, and HR. What's your take?
Well, definitely the market is starting to change with a lot of people going back to work and unemployment dropping. It's going to change. It's not going to be in the favor of employers where there are people knocking down your door to get jobs. You're going to have to source a lot harder. You know, you're going to have to put in a lot of time and go on LinkedIn and use various networking sites and really put a lot of time into finding the candidates. A lot of passive candidate pipelines are going to be built. And working more with your hiring managers to find out down the road what skills are needed in advance so that you can develop internal training and development programs or work with schools in your area to build out their educational programs and internship programs. It's going to become more of a process and a longer process to build the talent in a company.
Why do you think people switch jobs? Like, what's your kind of, as you've looked at the ebb and flow of the job market, and it's lazy content to just say it's compensation. So I know compensation is in there somewhere, but like, what's your take? Why do people move from job A to job B?
I think right now a lot of it is has to do with the employment market. So more companies are hiring. You can move jobs a little bit easier. So if you're not happy with the job that you're in, you can move. Whereas a few years ago when we were not in such a great economy, people were staying in their jobs because they had a job.
And the best places to advertise, like some of the things that you're seeing, you're obviously seeing where it works and where it doesn't, and people are throwing kind of good money after bad, and I know y'all know those things, but what shocks you about the best places to advertise? Like that list when you're looking at it. Like, first of all, what just kind of comes out of left field for you?
The big job boards are still great places. I think that's where people are still looking. But a lot of things are a lot of recruiting is being done through internal referral programs, using your current employees to find talent. You know, their connections and their network is really growing. So the future of where you're advertising for jobs may change.
All right.
I think it's going to be more important.
Yeah, go ahead. No, finish your talk.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think it's going to be more important for your career site, your company corporate site, to be more robust with the information on your site. And mobile recruiting, I think, is a hot topic right now. And just making sure that your jobs are available and searchable for people.
You know, I know you know that we do, on the company side, we do a lot of, you know, cost of customer acquisition costs, like CAC. It's a number that VCs and, you know, everyone really looks at. It's like, how much does it cost you to acquire a new customer? Should we do that with candidates? Should we, and do we do, if we should, do you think there's a future in really having a firm understanding of what candidate acquisition costs look like?
Absolutely. It all goes into setting the story when you're starting to recruit somebody. Being able to tell them, your hiring manager or a team lead, exactly what it's going to cost when it comes to, you know, your time and job ad costs, and if you need to hire staffing firms or put, you know, sourcers on a job. All of that needs to be put into consideration when you're sourcing candidates and looking at the analytics behind it. Absolutely.
So for you, and this is a personal question more than anything else, but what's the perfect candidate experience for a person with your, you know, experience, age, degree, geolocation, all that other stuff? Like, what would you love to have happen in the candidate experience?
I can think back to past jobs that I've been applying for, and I think the communication between a company and a candidate is really important. You apply to a job and then you don't hear from anyone and you try to contact them and nobody returns your calls or you can't find a contact and you want to kind of know what's going on in the process. And I think that's going to be really important. It's just opening the communication channel. But it's going to be difficult because you can't. It's hard to contact every single person that may apply to a job or send in a resume. That's a lot. It's a lot to ask of a recruiting team.
Okay. And what's your, if you're looking at the future of Glassdoor and candidates looking at Glassdoor before they apply or before they interview or whatever, and companies getting in there and mixing in and really owning their reputation, et cetera. Like, what's the future of that look like? Do we wake up in 10 years and there's 20 glass doors? Do you think it's more vital in the recruitment process, or it just becomes one of those things that is? Like, what's your take on Glassdoor?
I think smart candidates are using Glassdoor or a similar type of a company. And maybe it's not a glass door or a site particularly, but if you're potentially looking to join a company, you could use your own network, your friends on LinkedIn or Facebook or whoever, people that you went to school with, your alumni networks, to find out what's going on. Definitely reaching out and saying, what's the culture like? What is it like to work for this person or this team? Or do you know anything about this job? Getting the inside info is going to be really important for candidates because you want to know that you're working for a company that you're going to like and that you're going to be happy at and in a job that you're going to be happy with.
All right, so I got to get your take on the future of job descriptions. So I believe most people go about job descriptions by going on to Career Builder or Monster and cutting and copying other people's job descriptions, bringing it into Word, and then smithing it up a little bit to quote-unquote fit their organization. So I'm jaded. I believe most of that stuff is just somebody goes in and cuts other people's stuff, barely shapes it, and then posts it as their job ad. So, again, William, comma, jaded, got it. What's your take on job descriptions, and what do you think the future of that really should look like?
Job descriptions are going to be really important, and the information you provide in them, they're searchable online. So you have to know a little bit about search engine optimization and how are your jobs going to be found over your competition so that candidates that you want are applying to your jobs. So what words are they using to search? What skills do they have? Making sure that those skills are in your job ads or certain titles, you know, if somebody is a Java developer, making sure you use the Java developer in your job ad rather than web developer, or getting specific and just making sure that they're really accurate for your company. And also making sure that you use things that are going to make people want to apply to your company. If you offer special benefits or if you have perks or your company has a certain culture, making sure that you put that in your job ad is going to be really important.
Okay. Well, I guess your take on social recruiting in terms of LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, what do you see from a sourcing perspective? Like, what's really working? Because you're at a really wonderful place of being able to be a judge of what really is outside of the myths and hype and all the other stuff. Here's what's really working. What do you see that works from a social perspective?
I think LinkedIn is an obvious answer. I don't think we need to address that. But Facebook can definitely be useful, and Twitter as well, making sure that your jobs are being tweeted out either through your corporate Twitter account, if you have a specific careers, HR, jobs, Twitter account, just making sure that they're posted and people can find them. Definitely. But I think it's not so much the social aspect as it is the networking aspect. Again, using, I think people use their networks more than just applying to jobs now. So making sure that the people that work for your company are promoting working at your company and helping you find candidates.
So advice you'd give to those that are recruiting millennials would be?
Definitely have a careers website and making it mobile friendly. A lot of people are doing their searching on mobile phones and tablets and various mobile devices. And always making sure that you are posting online, whether it's through social networks, and that's where people are going to find you.
All right, well, let's for the next 10 minutes or so, let's hack analytics. Because, again, where you particularly live, you've got some great insight into, you know, it's not a question of what you can measure. You can measure everything, or at least, most things, but what should people have their eyes on? So if we can bubble things up, and let's separate the world into sourcers, recruiters, and HR, what are the things that you're seeing? Again, I know there's 10,000 things that people can measure and probably do. What do you think they get the biggest bang for their buck when they measure? So what are those analytics in particular that they should really keep their eyes on?
From a recruiting standpoint, I think cost per hire and time to fill is a great number to keep track of. Knowing where your best talent is coming from historically, so knowing if recruiting from certain schools or colleges is where you're going to get the best bang for your buck, knowing all the sources of your employees and where you want to spend your time and money, that's going to be really important in recruiting specifically.
And sourcing in HR? Anything different?
I think sourcing is going to be somewhat similar, but also knowing where the candidates are, so where the talent supply is by city and by skill and by industry, because you need to know where to look. When you're a sourcer, you need to be able to pigeonhole good places to find candidates. And in HR, I think probably there's a lot going on in HR, and it depends on where you are in HR, really. Again, probably more on where just general people analytics.
All right. That's great. So, and I know you, I don't want you to break client confidentiality here, so I'm not asking that. What I am asking is about kind of best use of analytics that you've seen. You know, people use applications in all kinds of unintended ways, and they come up with all kinds of crazy things that we never thought they would. So you're sitting on those case studies, and again, I don't want you to break anyone's confidence, but tell us of the kinds of really unique uses of analytics that really kind of that inspire you of sorts.
One of the best stories that I think we have here is just being able to walk into an intake meeting with the information. So on day zero, you know exactly how hard it's going to be to fill a job. You know the best sources, whether it's a location or companies, similar companies to you that you're going to try to attract talent from. And being able to present the information to your hiring manager and saying, this is what you're currently requiring in your job, but this is what the talent pool looks like. You want these five skills, but there's only 100 people in our area that have those skills, and maybe 90 of them already work for the company. So
wow.
You need to be able to find that information, and that's information that you can then present to a hiring manager, and they're going to trust you. It's real data. You can print out job ads. You can print out these reports and bring them with you to your intake meeting and present that information. And it's trusted info, and you can present your strategy, and it makes more sense rather than just going into a meeting and saying, oh, I think, well, we should post here or do this to attract candidates. It's better conversation. You can really get down into the nitty-gritties of the talent market.
All right, I want you to put your futurist hat on. Future of talent analytics. So let's look 20 years out, which seems like a lifetime, but it, you know, 20 years out, what's the future of talent analytics look like from your perspective?
I think there's going to be a lot of it. we're finding more and more people wanting to use the analytics. It's going to be more widely accepted and used. I think people, HR professionals are going to be more, it's going to be a part of the job. It's going to be ingrained in everything, whether it's through an API in your ATS where you can literally click a button and see all the information about a job that you're recruiting for. That's going to be huge in the future.
All right, so let's pivot. We've got a couple of minutes left. Where do you go to get better at your job? What does Abby do to get better at Abby's job?
We talk a lot with our clients, and we just see what projects they're working on and how we can help them, and other ways that we can you know, a lot of our clients have unique ways of doing things, and those are great learnings for us that we can often pass on and really help other companies with their HR strategy.
And now I got to ask you about where do you draw inspiration from? So where do you, when you're tapped, where do you get your inspiration?
I do a lot of article reading. So I read pretty much every blog and publication in HR just to see what's going on and where people are struggling and how I can help them. And that's a big inspiration for me. And then when I hear that they're doing their jobs better and being more efficient, that's a real inspiring point, and it kind of drives me.
All right, so what question should I have asked you that I didn't?
I don't know. I think you covered all the major points in analytics.
Well, there you go.
You really did.
Well, tell us a little bit about Water Analytics next year, 2015. I know you're in budget cycle. I know you're planning your conferences and all the other stuff. What's next year look like for y'all?
So we'll be at all of the major events. We'll be at ERE and HR Tech, of course. We're actually starting to build out our global analytics database. So we've historically been in the U.S. and Canada, and we're now providing analytics on 22 different countries. So we're going to be global, and we're going to be everywhere. And so here in the U.S., you can even get data for the U.K. or China or Australia if you're looking to open offices or you're trying to bring talent in. You know, this is all data that you're going to be able to have.
And so I would assume that you have partners. And if so, who are some of y'all's partners?
We are all internal, actually. we're a pretty small company. We're about 50 people, but we have our office up in Quebec City, and we have an office here in New York City, and we are all internal now.
Hi, very nice, very nice. Yeah. So can you tell us anything about customer wins, anything that's public in terms of some of the companies that have signed down to be some of the your customers?
Well, we have it all on our website. So, you know, we have a lot of companies, you know, we're all Fortune 500 companies mostly that are using us currently. We have a lot of great clients that are getting a lot of great analytics, but I don't know that any of it is public for announcing yet.
Right. Well, that's true of a lot of companies, so I would tell you. And the best part of that answer was, we have the Fortune 500. Just, William, just pick one. You're good. Anywhere there, just close your eyes and throw a dart. Hey, we're good. They're Wanted Analytics. You know, it was wonderful catching up with you, Abby. Absolutely huge fan of Wanted Analytics. And I hope you have a fantastic 2015. But before that, you got to have a fantastic holiday season. And I want to thank everyone for listening to a little drive through HR. And as Abby and I agreed in pre-show, we are going to roll out to a little ZZ Top. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Abby.